Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Father, this morning in this place, we give you thanks and praise and all the glory and honor. Because, Father, there is none like you. You are our strong tower, our fortress. You are the one that we depend on, that we can go to time after time after time. And your word, Father, it is like a hammer. Father, it changes, it mends, it molds, it causes us, Father, it causes us to seek after you more. The more we know you, the more we seek you, Father, the more we discover your wonders and who you are. So this morning in this place, we give you thanks and praise and all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. You may take your seats. Well, good morning, everybody. Great to see you all this morning in the house of the Lord. Amen. And wonderful to see you guys. Wonderful to see you too, Pastor. That's okay. Somebody's happy to see me. So we are in the middle of a series right now. And if you haven't been here the last 2 weeks, that's okay, because you'll basically pick up right where we left off. But I do encourage you to go and listen to part one and two of Keys to Answered Prayer. Next week, we're moving off Keys to Answered Prayer in the series and moving on to basically part of the same series, but we'll be moving on to different types of prayer. And so we'll have a look at different ways that we pray and effectively so that mountains can be moved. Can you say amen? So I don't want to go too much into last week and the week before, but I gave some keys last week. I gave four to be exact. The first key I gave was that we need to have faith. In order for us to have our prayers answered, faith is one of the requirements. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Can you say amen? The second key I gave was to pray in the name of Jesus. And we know that there's no other way to come to the Father except through Him. And so we pray in that name. There's no other name. The third key was to come boldly before Him. And I taught you how important it is for us not to stay focused on our sins, but when we come before God, to come with a confidence, because we are children, we are sons and daughters of the King, so we can approach Him with boldness and confidence. We repent for our sins if we have sins to repent of, and then we continue forward because God has got some stuff He wants you to do. And if you stay in that place of crying out and just staying in your sin and stuff, you're never going to get anything achieved. In fact, the Bible says that He doesn't hear you anymore if you begin to stay in that place. Amen. The fourth key that we spoke about last week, and we'll kind of tie it into where I'm going to start this week, was to choose the will of God. We have to choose His will over our own will. We have to choose His will over our own will. And once you begin to know His will, you will begin to be able to pray and seek the face of God and do the things that He asks for us to do. How many of you in this room would love to have your prayers answered? Amen. I think every one of us wants our prayers to be answered. It's awesome when you pray and God responds by actually answering your prayers. It's really, really powerful. So the first thing I want to share with you this morning is one of the most powerful things that we have in Scripture is God's promises. So the first key this morning is to pray the promises of God, or in the series, this will be point number five. Pray the promises of God, or pray God's promises. This ties into His will. 2 Peter 1 verse number 4 says this, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. I want you to understand that they are great, exceedingly great. In other words, they're just more than great. They're like really super great. They are exceedingly great and precious promises that are available to us, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. In other words, because of the promises of God, we can begin to pray. We can begin to intercede. There are things that God has for us. We can tap into His will. We can tap into His purpose because of the promises that He's made. How many of you know you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for His promises? Jesus was a promise. The Son of God coming and setting all mankind free was a promise, and we're here because of that promise. But there are many, many promises in the Bible, and a lot of us don't pray those promises. Remember, God's promises are His will, so they're important. Every promise in the Bible is extremely important, and you need to know that a promise of God is the will of God. So don't account them for like just, oh, well, you know, that's not that great. Well, not really applying to me. Well, it really does. It's really important. And if God says something, you can know for a fact, if He says He'll do it, if it's a promise, He will do it. 2 Corinthians 1 verse number 20 says, "For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him amen, to the glory of God through" who? Through us. So God's promises will manifest through our lives. They will manifest through our lives. Many of the promises that were originally given were actually given in the Old Testament. Yeah, He's talking to the church in Corinth, like I'm speaking to you right now, and He's telling them, listen, the promises of God are yes and amen through you. Amen. That means that those promises in His word are for me? Yes. They are for you, and they are powerful, and they can change your life in the most dramatic and impactful and amazing ways. Isaiah 55 verse number 11 says this, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in all things for which I sent it." I want you to know that God's word is powerful. God's word is everlasting. God's word carries the same weight that it did in the Old Testament days when the psalmists would write psalms and write promises of God. The same power that was released when they wrote those psalms is released now when we begin to pray those promises with faith. I'm so glad somebody believes me. Amen. All 2.5. Amen. So you need to know that God's word is powerful. It's alive. It's not dead. His word is alive. So it's like when you begin to believe and you begin to have faith, the words on the page carry far more weight than you could possibly imagine when they become alive to you. And you begin to pray and you begin to have faith and you begin to speak the promises of God in your life as though it is for right now. And something shifts in the atmosphere. Something shifts in the heavenlies. It's like, for example, let's just say that there's darkness and everything in our lives that the enemy tries to bring against us is a form of darkness. When that darkness comes because of the enemy, fear, depression, anxiety, poverty, whatever the enemy wants to bring to try and oppress us, everything in God's word brings life and light and healing and deliverance. And so when you begin to pray His promises that He says are actually for you, the darkness that the enemy has tried to bring against you cannot comprehend it, the Bible says. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness cannot comprehend it. When it's truth and it's God's truth and it's really His truth, so you're praying His will, you're praying His word, man, it's powerful. It's powerful. Psalm 12, verse number 6 says it like this. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. In other words, when His word goes out, It's not like just some guy decided to speak something that might actually have some power. When God's word goes from his mouth, it is pure, it is holy, and it will accomplish what it's been sent out to do. It has so much power. And in your mouth, if you begin to have faith, if you begin to pray according to his word, if you begin to pray those promises over your life in the right situation, he's going to answer. He's going to answer. Amen. Amen. But how do we pray his promises? How do we pray the word over our lives? You see, the important key when it comes to God's promises is that you need to know them. Because if you don't know his promises, you can't pray them. Did you know that there are over 8,800 promises in the Bible? Let me ask you a question. How many problems do you have? See, I don't know all 8,800, because in my 42 years on this earth, I have not had 8,800 problems. Are you with me? And neither have you. What normally happens is it's the same one that takes you around the mountain every time. Amen. But I want you to know that there are so many of his promises. And the Bible says in John 8:32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Once you begin to know his word, once you begin to know the promises that are actually available to you, power is released when you begin to pray, when you begin to speak, when you begin to believe. Power is released in the heavenlies. Man, when God aligns himself with you, when you pray, basically it's really you aligning with him. And what begins to happen is there is a unity that takes place, because you are his body on the earth. And when you speak his word and you speak according to his promises, he delights himself in it, because he delights in his word. He delights in the promises he's made, and it breaks the power of the enemy. Come on, somebody give the Lord a shout and a clap in this place. Hallelujah. David gives us an example of what this actually means to pray the word of God, to pray according to the promises. You see, God came to David and made a promise to him about how he would establish him and his house forever. And in fact, this is so powerful, because when they tried to destroy the house of David, God said no. Why? Because of the promise he made David. But have a look at how David prays this way. 2 Samuel 7 verse 25. 2 Samuel 7 verse 25. "Now, O Lord God, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, establish it forever." And here comes the most important part. "And do as you have said." Do as you have said. You see, when we align ourselves with what God has said in his word, power is released. The anointing is released. Yoke-destroying power is released to destroy the depression, to destroy the fear, to destroy the poverty, to destroy the curse that the enemy tries to bring against you. So let's get practical. Is that okay? Let's get really practical. What do we do if, for example, if we need God's provision? How many of you in this place need God's provision? So how do we pray when we get into a situation where we have some lack? And now, Father, we need provision. Now, you must remember, the word often has things attached to it that are important. So, for example, you know, God will say to you, if you follow him or if you seek him, you'll find him. Well, if you don't seek him, guess what? You won't find him. So I can pray according to his word. If I'm being obedient to his word, I'll see results. Are you with me? So let's take a look. I need God's provision. Psalm 34, verse number 10. "The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." Did you hear what it says? Father, do according to your word. I seek you, Lord. I hunger and thirst for you. And your word says that I shall not lack any good thing. Father, you know what my need is. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will provide according to your promises in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, but you know, that's in the Psalms. Well, let's go to the New Testament. Luke 12, 24. Listen to this for those of you that think that you've been bad. You're right. You've been bad. But guess what? God wants to pick you up right now. God wants to restore you right now. And listen, even if you didn't do everything right, I want you to know that you are more valuable to Him. Look at this. Consider the ravens. Consider the ravens. For they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Or how much more value are you than the birds? You are valuable to Him. He wants to provide for you. He wants to take care of you. I don't know about you, but this is so awesome for me. Let's go to Psalm 84, verse number 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory. Look at this. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. How many of you know that if you're a child of the King and you walk upright before Him, no good thing will be withheld from you? If you have lack and you need some stuff, God's going to take care of it. What's the secret? All you have to do is walk uprightly. Well, you know, I haven't been walking uprightly. Well, then change your posture. Change your posture. What does it mean to walk upright? Well, it means to walk in the right way, but also, let's just make it practical. If I'm not walking upright, I'm walking like this. In order to walk upright, I stand up and I begin to do what God says I should do. I begin to follow Him the way He says I should follow Him. He is my source of dependence. He's the place I find peace. He's the place I find rest. So what do? I make a decision now, and when I make that decision, you need to know that God lives in the now. He lives in the now. What does that mean? That means He's looking at your heart right now. What are you going to do? What are you going to choose? What's the decision you're going to make? To stay in that same place, or are you going to choose to make a change? And if you make that decision, the Bible has promises. Look, no good thing will be withheld. Now, that's just a practical example of how we pray His promises in our lives. And listen, He will not shut His ear to His word. Can you say amen? I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. Amen. All right. That's the first key for this morning. Or point number 5 in the series. The second key, or point number 6 in the series, is have the right motive. When you pray, have the right motive. What are you asking for? And why are you asking? You see, the thing about us is that we have a tendency to always ask from the outward appearance or from the outer man. We all know that we're a spirit, soul, and body. And the flesh, the body, is at war with the spirit always. The battlefield is the soul, the mind, the emotions. But oftentimes when we ask according to our feelings and emotions. And so when we do that, we don't always get the response that we want. Or let me put it to you this way. When we do that all the time, we're not necessarily asking the way that we should ask. 1 Samuel 16:7 in the ESV version. You see, God always looks at the most important part. He always looks at our inner man, our heart. The Bible says in verse 1 Samuel 16:7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance, on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. You see, when you're asking with the outer man, when you're asking with the flesh all the time, you're actually making a mistake. You should be asking from the inner man, because God already knows you deep on the inside. He knows your heart. He knows what you really need. He knows the plans He has for you. But we have this tendency to do that. We always ask according to the way that we feel. Now, I'm not saying that you can't feel a certain way and sometimes ask God for something. We all have to be real with God. God wants us to be that way with Him. Are you with me? He likes us to be real. Lord, you know, I really like need something. And He'll, you know, He's a provider. He takes care of us because He loves us. But if we're always asking according to the flesh, something's wrong. And James 4, verse number 3 says it like this. If you do not receive, because you ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss. So how is it that we ask amiss? The verse answers the question. That you may spend it on your pleasures. You see, we ask amiss because it's for our personal pleasures, our outer man that we're asking. But when we ask correctly, something begins to happen. You see, the motive for asking, yes, it's so that we can prosper, so that we can be blessed, so that we can move forward, so that our children can move forward, all of that stuff. But ultimately, there's one primary goal. Take a look. Jesus says it beautifully in John 14, 13. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. Why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Listen, every time Jesus prays on the earth, you will see Him go to the Father and give Him thanks. You will see Him go to the Father and give Him glory. Every time Jesus performs a miracle, that Jesus will make a statement like, I've been glorified, but it's to give you the glory, Father. Everything I've done is to give you the glory. So you see, when you pray and you want to move forward in your life, you must give Him the glory. You must give Him the honor. You must give Him the praise, and you will see how He will continue to bless you. You see, many of us have a tendency to believe that the things that we have are because of our own abilities or our own talents or our own gifts. And it's actually very dangerous, because every good thing that you have comes from above, from the Father of lights, who is our Heavenly Father. Jesus gave Him glory in everything. In everything He gave Him glory. We too need to give Him glory for every good thing that He does in our lives. Can you say amen? You see, there are two kingdoms on this earth. You may think there's your kingdom, but really there isn't. It's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan. When you do something, it is working towards one or the other. You see, if God blesses me, if He gives me something, but I give Him the glory, that is the side that's being edified. If I take the glory for myself, I think I'm doing my own thing. I think it's my own abilities. I'm actually edifying the kingdom of darkness. There is no middle. There is no in between. There is no, well, this is the gray space. By the way, there is no gray space. It's either light or dark. God or Satan. That's the only two kingdoms that there are. There's no politician's kingdom. There's no your kingdom. It's either God's kingdom or the devil's kingdom. The question is, whose side are you on? Whose side are you building? To whom are you giving glory? Romans 1:21 says it like this. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. You see, when you're not giving thanks, when you're not giving glory, as I said, you're edifying the wrong side. And what happens is your heart begins to become darkened. Wow. Wow. Are you with me? That's why having the right motive when we come to God in prayer is so important. Listen, God loves you more than the birds and more than anything, right? So He wants to bless you. But for goodness sake, when He does, give Him the glory. give him the praise. Amen. When you get that great idea in your business, while you are praying and asking God for a solution, give him the glory. Can you say amen? Listen, when we prayed for the coronavirus to have a breakthrough, we began to have a breakthrough. There wasn't enough giving him the glory. We need to give him the glory for every healing, for every deliverance. Listen, it's no politician's great ideas. I can tell you now. Listen, God is so God, he'll get in the mind of anybody to fulfill his purpose and plan. The Bible says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. He turns it which way he wants. He's in control. You need to understand that. So when things begin to happen, we must give him the glory. All right, let's move on. Point number seven, or point number three tonight, this morning, sorry. Man. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14 says this, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. You see, there are many, in fact, how many of you know when we get saved, we all become children of God, right? Now, if you have an infant, and that infant is with you, they're your child, but that infant, when you talk to that infant doesn't respond much, right? Are you with me? You think they're smiling, but it's really gas, right? There's not much response. But as that child begins to grow, as that child begins to mature, so they become more and more astute. They begin to listen to you. They begin to understand what you're saying. And when you and then they begin to follow your example. They begin to follow your lead, right? In a perfect world, right? Okay? That's how it's supposed to be. You see, if we are led by the Spirit, if we allow the Spirit to lead us, if we allow Him to help us, to guide us, we become mature, and that's when you become like a son. That word son there is speaking of maturity. You become a son and a daughter of God. Those are the ones who are led by the Spirit. You see, it's so important that you're led by the Spirit in your prayer life because it's very connected. You see, John 14:26 says this, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things I said to you. You see, everything you've learned, everything you need to remember, everything that the Lord has done for you, even in your life, the Holy Spirit is the one who will bring it to remembrance. The Holy Spirit is the one who will remind you of these things. And often it will happen while you're in prayer. Are you guys with me? Amen? Is it okay? All right. Romans 8:24 actually specifically speaks about prayer and the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:24. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I want you to know that you can get to a place with God where not only will He lead you, but He will also pray through you. And this is very powerful. The Holy Spirit can actually pray through you. When you don't know what to pray, He can pray through you. Remember, last week I taught you, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, it says that no man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man that which is in him, your spirit. No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. But He searches the deep things. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows the problems. He knows the trials. He knows what's coming. He knows what you've been through. And He will connect Himself to your spirit. And what He'll do is when you don't know what to pray, He will begin to pray through you. Can you say amen? And this is very, very powerful. Next week, I'm going to teach you how to do that. Is that okay? So you got to come back next week. So being led by the Spirit and including the Holy Spirit in our prayer is absolutely vital. Point number four, or number eight in the series, is that when you pray, you must be persistent. You must be persistent. You must not give up. You must keep on praying. You must keep on asking. You must keep on seeking. Can you say amen? Jesus gave us more than one parable about this principle. In Luke 18, verse number 1, he gives this parable. He says, "Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, 'Get justice for me from my adversary.' And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, 'Though I do not fear God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me.' Then the Lord said, 'Hear what the unjust said.'" In other words, he's trying to give you a picture of someone who is not just, someone who will respond, who is not faithful, who is not good, who is not true, to give you a picture of the total opposite of God, and to let you understand that if an unjust God would do this, how much more would your Father do it? And take a look at what he says. In verse number 7, he says, "And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them?" You need to know that if you have a situation that is in urgent need of an answer, if prayer, you can't just pray once. You've got to pray more than once. Sometimes you've got to pray three times. Sometimes you've got to continue to pray. If you haven't got peace about the situation yet, continue to ask. Continue to seek. Continue to knock. Can you say amen? All right. Now, that's one example. Let me give you one more. And this one, I think, is even more important. Not that the other one isn't. They're both important. But what makes this one carry a lot of weight, even more weight, is the fact that when the disciples went to Jesus and asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray," he teaches them the Lord's Prayer. And right after he teaches the Lord's Prayer, this is the parable that comes up, literally right afterwards. Luke 11, verse number five, yes. And he said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you.' I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." That's the reason why we don't stop praying. That's the reason why we keep on pressing in. That's why every Wednesday we pray for our nation and our president and this country and this city. We pray every Wednesday, every Saturday. When are we going to stop? When I go to be with the Lord, that's when we'll stop. We will bring it before him day and night. We will remind him of his promises. We will pray for protection for this nation all the time. Come on, somebody. You see, it's not a matter of whether he answers or not. Many of us feel when we pray that God doesn't answer our prayers. Well, that's not necessarily true. In fact, it is true. The problem is you don't always hear what he's saying. Take a look at the next scripture, because many of us read it and perceive God didn't answer the prayer, but he does. 2 Corinthians 12, verse number 8. This is Paul the apostle. He shows us how he pleads with God about a certain issue. He says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Now we're going to see that God doesn't answer his prayer the way he expects. He says in verse number nine, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see, the prayer wasn't answered the way Paul expected it to be answered. But he knew that when he got up in the morning, he could continue to fulfill his destiny. He could continue to do the things that God called him to do. That the power and the calling of God was still on his life, which meant that the grace of God was sufficient for him to continue on. And so he came to a place where he realized that God wasn't going to deliver him from this situation, but there was enough grace for him to fulfill what he was called to do. God answered the prayer, just not how Paul thought or how Paul wanted. But he knew that God was saying, don't worry, Paul. What you have, you can bear to get you to where you need to go, to get you to finish your race. Can you say amen? And let me say this to you. I'm so thankful. I'm so glad that God didn't take that from Paul, because it gives me hope today. Hello? Anybody out there? That means that there may be some things in your life that maybe are not perfect. And you think that you can't serve God because you're not perfect. Well, I want to tell you that there are things that God didn't take away from him. Amen. I'm not talking about the mountain now. You need to sort that thing out. Amen. All right. One more key this morning. And this is important. You see, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said to them in Matthew 6, verse number 9, he said, this is how you should pray. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This is so important. The last point this morning is that we must forgive those who hurt us. We must forgive those who hurt us. Why is this so important? I want you to go back to verse number 12 and take a look at it carefully. It says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In other words, with the same measure that you forgive, you will be forgiven. You may have something in your life that you're holding on to, that you're not letting go, that you're not releasing because you feel so strongly about it. Well, I want you to know that one thing that you're holding on to so strongly, that will be counted against you. And with the same measure that you choose not to release, you will not be released. Many people, many Christians that have served the Lord for many, many years, they end up stuck like as though they're paralyzed because they have not forgiven. Yes, they love the Lord. Yes, they follow the Lord, but it's like the heavens have gone shut. Their prayers don't get answered. They don't have breakthrough. And the primary reason is because they haven't dealt with that one thing, that one issue. Sometimes it's more than one, but oftentimes it's one thing. The devil only needs you to hold on to one. He only wants you to hold on to one. Just that one thing, that one situation that happened to you when you were a child. If you can just stay in that place where you don't forgive, if you can just stay in that place where you're holding it against that person, where you've kept that offense in your heart, if you can just do that, he'll have you right where he wants you. Because all he wants is that you don't get forgiven. Because when you don't forgive, your authority is stripped from you. Your prayers don't get answered. Are you with me, guys? Take a look at what it says in Mark 11, verse 25. Mark 11, verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. And yea, he confirms it. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. The word trespasses is powerful because it speaks of sins and transgressions, but it also speaks of offense. You cannot hold on to that thing that you feel you have a right to hold on to, because you must understand the moment you do that, what you're doing is you're nullifying the blood of Jesus flowing towards you. You're cutting the grace off that flows towards you, because whether you like to admit it or not, you are guilty. The only thing that makes you not guilty is His grace and His blood, His forgiveness. That's what makes us not guilty. But as soon as you choose to play God and not forgive, what basically happens is you're saying, your grace is not sufficient for me. I choose to hold on. I'm not going to allow what's going into me flow out of me. Are you with me? And that's when it ends. That's when it stops. How many of you want your prayers to be answered? This is the day that you must make a decision to let it go. This is the day that you must make a choice to forgive that person that hurt you. I know many of you carry deep, dark things on the inside of you that have hurt you. And I know your pain is real and justified in some way. I get it. I understand. But make a decision this morning so that you can live the rest of your life free. And when you approach God, the heavens are open and He hears your prayers, because God's got some stuff He wants you and Him to do. He's got some things He wants to do with you and your life. You were not created for such a time for nothing. Can you say?
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.